Good afternoon. We'll start with statements by the Secretary General and the Prime Minister, and then we'll take just a few questions. Secretary General.
Prime Minister Skrenalis, welcome to NATO headquarters. It has been a great pleasure to receive you here today and to address all the different ways that Lithuania is contributing to our shared security. So I really appreciate this meeting and also this opportunity to congratulate you on your appointment as Prime Minister. Lithuania makes important contributions to NATO. Your troops serve with distinction in Afghanistan and in Kosovo. You host assets for NATO's Baltic air policing, and you host one of our new small headquarters. Lithuania stands with NATO, and NATO stands with Lithuania. In response to Russia's aggressive actions against Ukraine, NATO is deploying 4 robust multinational battle groups to Lithuania, Estonia, Latvia, and Poland. German and Belgian troops are already arriving in Lithuania. Sending a clear message, NATO allies stand united, and an attack on any of us would be met by forces from across the alliance. We discussed the progress of the deployment, and I expect all 4 battalions to be fully operational by June. Our plans are defensive in nature, they are proportionate to the scale of the challenge, and they are fully in line with our international commitments. We also agreed on the importance of NATO's 2-track approach to Russia, strong defence combined with meaningful dialogue. Finally, Prime Minister, I want to commend your government for your leadership on defence spending and your plan to reach NATO's 2% benchmark, 2% of GDP, by 2018. Fair burden sharing is essential to the long-term strength of our alliance and the security of our people. And Lithuania is setting an example for other allies to follow. On Thursday, Lithuania will celebrate the 99th anniversary of its Act of Independence. With NATO, you will never lose that independence again. Prime Minister, thank you for your strong support for our alliance and welcome to NATO headquarters.
Thank you. I am very delighted at our productive meeting with Secretary General of NATO. Lithuania is a trustworthy member of the alliance. Our government is doing everything it can so that we meet our obligations. First of all, obligations for our own country, of course. This 2% of GDP for defense spending is a symbolical target. We are going to reach it earlier than planned in 2018. And Lithuania is going to do everything in terms of increasing its defensive capacities and investments into national defense. And depending on the geopolitical situation, 2% of GDP is not a threshold, not a limit. We are going to allocate as many resources as is needed. A very important message is that NATO is united, and any attempts, any attacks from one country means a very rapid reaction from all the allies. This is of great importance for all of us. It is very important for us to have a very efficient deterrence policy, speaking about our eastern borders. Deployment of 4 NATO enhanced forward present battalions is of great importance for us, speaking about those threats that we are facing today. Those things that are taking place near our borders, speaking about large-scale exercises or various so-called checks of capacities, which are not announced prior to them taking place, means that the decision of the deployment of the enhanced forward presence was a very timely discussion, and I have no doubts that it will make a very strong deterrence for those forces that are concentrated near our borders. it is very good for us that enhanced forward presence battalions are deployed in the Baltic countries and Poland. I also am very grateful for your congratulations on the 99th anniversary of our independence. We know what it means to lose independence. We know how much it costs to rebuild the country and democracy. We will do everything so that we will never lose again this democracy, and we hope that this will be helped by our efficient presence in the essential and most important security organization, that is NATO alliance.
Okay. BNS?
Good afternoon. Saulius Jakučionis, Baltic News Service. I'll switch to Lithuanian to my Prime Minister. Premjere, laba diena.
Good afternoon, Prime Minister. I have a question with regard to defense funding. Could you please confirm that the parties are going to find an agreement in to allocate 2.5% of GDP to defense? And also, speaking about the calls from the new U.S. Administration to fight more efficiently with terrorism, is Lithuania going to more efficiently engage in operations in Afghanistan and Iraq? The answer, yes, I can reaffirm that 2% is going to be reached in 2018. Then there are no discussions, neither among the political parties nor the society in Lithuania. All of us agree that we have to contribute 2% of GDP to defense. This is not a declaration. This is a decision by the government to allocate as much as is needed for the national defense. Now, with regards to participation in international operations, even today, Lithuanian military personnel takes place and participates in various operations in Iraq and Afghanistan. We are going to allocate our resources, including military resources, in taking place in all the international missions as equal partners. And there can no be any discussions. We don't have any doubts whatsoever with regards to this. We understand our contributions in defending our security and fight against terrorism.
Okay. Kyiv Post.
Brian Bonner from the Kyiv Post in Ukraine. Mr. Secretary General, do you think that Russia has compromising information on President Donald Trump? If yes, what can be done about it? If no, how do you explain his pro-Putin positions and his continued misunderstanding of Russia's war against Ukraine?
I am absolutely certain that the United States will stay committed to NATO, to the transatlantic bond, but also to the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of all European states, including Ukraine. And I'm looking forward to welcoming the Secretary of Defense, Secretary Mattis, here tomorrow. The reason why NATO now is increasing its military presence in the eastern part of the alliance is the aggressive actions against Ukraine by Russia, illegally annexing Crimea and destabilizing eastern Ukraine. And I also seen that in the United Nations, the United States has expressed strong support for Ukraine and also support for the economic sanctions. I have spoken with President Trump twice, and the message has been that he is very committed to NATO, that he would like to see more defense spending, but also that he is supportive of the NATO dual-track approach to Russia, meaning that as long as we are strong, as long as we invest in our defense and our deterrence, we can also engage in a political dialogue with Russia. So I don't see any contradiction between being in favor of dialogue with Russia, having open channels with Russia, meeting Russians, and exploring how we can avoid tensions to increase and exploring how we can strive for a more cooperative relationship, and at the same time being committed to NATO and to our collective security. That's the NATO position, and that's also the position that President Trump has conveyed to me in my conversations with him.
Okay. Wall Street Journal?
First, to the Prime Minister, do you think that Mr. Trump's promise of a more cooperative relationship with Russia could bolster security in your country, or are you... do you want to hear more explanation from the United States, worried that the new attitude could embolden Russia? And to the Secretary General, to expand upon your last answer, do you anticipate discussing how to either rebalance deterrence and dialogue or how to tweak the strategy in your conversations with Mr. Mattis here this week?
Secretary Mattis. Yes, first of all, with regard to United States, we trust United States and we don't see any basis for having doubts on that. Now, with regards to dialogue with Russia, yes, every dialogue is needed. It improves cooperation, it encourages cooperation. But again, the forms of dialogues and the positions of the start of this dialogue, what conditions are there for this dialogue? If we are engaging in this dialogue on the basis of international standards, international freedoms and rights, yes, then yes, this dialogue is possible. But speaking about the form of this dialogue, I believe that this dialogue has to be of equal partners. I hope that there would never be a case where interests of one state would be sacrificed for the benefit of other states. Lithuania has always trusted the United States, and we don't have any grounds for having doubts with this long-term standing cooperation and trust.
Russia is not on the item or on the agenda for this meeting, but of course NATO's approach to Russia is always part of the dialogue, ongoing dialogue between NATO allies. And we always have to assess how can we find the right way to pursue this dual-track approach. We are now delivering on important elements regarding the strength part of it with the enhanced forward presence. And then we are constantly looking into how can we then strive for a more constructive relationship with Russia, but without compromising on fundamental principles for the alliance, which includes, of course, the sovereignty and the territorial integrity of all nations in Europe, including Ukraine. I think that, for instance, now we have some attention on military exercises, including the Zapad exercise. And for me, that just illustrates the importance of the dialogue with Russia and to keep the channels open and also try to develop the military lines of communications. To have more transparency, more predictability related to, for instance, military exercises like the Zapad exercise. And one of the issues we have discussed in the NATO-Russia Council is how can we improve and how can we use the Council to have briefings on exercises on a reciprocal basis, for instance, on exercises like Zapad. So exactly what I'm going to discuss with Secretary Mattis is a bit too early to say, but these issues, military transparency, predictability, adherence to the Vienna document, regarding observation, notification of exercises. It's constantly on our agenda and it's part of our dual-track approach to Russia.
Very quick question.
Aivars Svozrovič, Weekly Ear, Latvia. I have a question to the Prime Minister, dwelling on what Secretary General right now said about the Zapad exercises. Your country's security department has recently warned that these exercises will be the major threat to your country's security. What are the worst scenarios your and the other Baltic countries should be prepared in this case? And probably a follow-up to Mr. Stoltenberg, is NATO ready to deter any provocations or whatever would come out of these exercises? Thank you.
I believe that we don't discuss the worst-case scenarios. Our presence here today and our meeting today in the NATO headquarters and actions that were taken, speaking about the deployment of the enhanced forward presence and cooperation within the alliance, enable us to state and expect that the worst case scenario would never occur. That's why the alliance is for. That's why we have our commitments for. And the Lithuania and all the Baltic states and the entire alliance is getting ready for that. So let us speak about as to how we will maintain the balance and our priority, and let us not discuss the worst-case scenarios. I believe that we are doing everything we can so that we prevented that.
We don't see any imminent threat against any NATO ally. And NATO, of course, always stands ready to defend all allies against any threat. And that's the reason why we are also adapting our military posture, increasing the readiness, preparedness of our forces, and also increasing the the forward presence of our troops to respond to a more dangerous and demanding security environment. We have seen more military activity close to our borders, and it is important to avoid incidents, accidents. And again, that's the reason why we are working for transparency, predictability, and why we also expect Russia to adhere to the Vienna document, which is regulating how to conduct military exercises in a transparent and predictable way, avoiding incidents and accidents. And all nations have the right to exercise their forces, but of course this should be done in a responsible way and in full compliance with international agreements, like for instance the OSCE Vienna document, which requires notification and international observation according to specific requirements.
Thank you very much. That's all we have time for.
Thank you.